Hello. We'll get started. Just a few minutes late. I think the last session went a little behind. I'm Lindy Yamamoto. I'm your moderator today. And just here to introduce Bill Speer with his presentation titled More on the Evolution of the Doctrine and Covenants Text, Revelations Printed in Mormon Newspapers. Bill Real has a Bachelor of Science and Master of Science degrees in biology from Virginia Tech. He's currently employed at Salt Lake Community College, and we'll have just under an hour for this presentation, and hopefully we'll have time for some questions after.
Okay. Hope this thing, I'm close enough to this thing. So this talk is kind of a continuation of one I did last year where I used phylogenetic analysis in biology. Phylogeny is an attempt to infer evolutionary relationships between within the groups of organisms that you're looking at. So here I'm looking at using those types of methodologies to look at the evolution of the Doctrine and Covenant texts. Kind of focusing on two Mormon newspapers, which you've probably heard of, the Evening and Morning Star with the definite article, and then the later newspaper, Evening, Morning, and Star minus the definite article. Probably want to say, kind of apologize beforehand. I didn't get quite as far on this as I would like, get as many analyzed as thoroughly. I have a good reason. My wife got sick in late March with necrotizing fasciitis due to group A streptococci. The common term is flesh-eating bacteria, and she's just only recently gotten out of the hospital since then after several surgery. So I'm a little bit behind, but I think I have something that'll make it worth the price of admission. So a disclaimer, kind of avoid a problem I felt kind of occurred last year. This is purely to be an objective inquiry into the evolutionary development of the printed text of Doctrine and Covenants. You know, there I take in this no, you know, pro-Mormon or anti-Mormon, as far as that goes. It's just, here's what I found to be the case with regard to the development of these texts, and not wishing to offend anybody or anything like that. And if anyone wishes to know what my views are after the meeting, we can have a discussion. So it's kind of a quick review for those of you that weren't here the last time. What I did was evaluate a small number of D&C sections from 22 printed texts that were available to me, and that included the Book of Commandments. So the time range there is basically about 1833 to 2013. And again, I used this a phylogenetic approach. Again, I used both LDS and RLDS, or Community of Christ now as they're termed, editions. And included in this, kind of to kind of orient the evolutionary direction, were the early handwritten printed collections of these manuscripts that are usually referred to as Revelation Book 1. And this collection was basically made from about March of 1831 to July 1835. And then there's a second collection, and these two collections do overlap somewhat, okay, called Revelation Book 2, which is about February of 1832 to about November of 1834. And actually, if anyone's interested, there is a Joseph Smith Papers website that actually has scans of these. It's kind of hard. I find the website kind of hard to navigate around, but to go to this, I just usually do a Google search and then type in corresponding sections, Doctrine and Covenants, and it takes me right to it. If I'm on something that it's not already on a computer that's not already has this bookmarked. So just kind of some of the results that I got last year to kind of get you up to speed. The individual sections that I analyzed, and again, it was just a small number of sections, but basically they each showed kind of their own little distinct pattern of how they developed and everything as we go from some of the original versions to what we see now. Though there were some general trends that I'll talk about here and point out here in just a moment that did tend to appear. Now, this one is kind of hard to see, maybe, because I got two that are comparing. But basically, like, for example, last year, one of the ones I included in my analysis was DNC 78. And I found the green here. Now, this is, I know it's kind of small here, so I don't know how well it's appearing on that thing. But you tend to have a kind of a modern LDS that's kind of post 1844 or thereabouts set of texts. And then there's a kind of a RLDS, or Community of Christ, set of versions of the DNC. And then prior to that, now the Section 78 doesn't have a Book of Commandments equivalent, but kind of distinct and separate would be like these early 1835 and 1844 versions. But this kind of basic general pattern that you see here is one that kind of appears persistently. A somewhat more anomalous set of relationships that I was getting, it was like for Section 48, where it appears to be basically a overall general LDS set of things, and then the yellow here again is the RLDS set of texts, Community of Christ, where they're kind of nested within this group. So there is some variation as to how the individual sections are evolving and then how the relationships of those with respect to each other. Despite these distinctive patterns among the individual sections, again, one consistent theme, general theme that I always was getting was, you know, a distinct family or group of text, despite the variations, which ranged in some cases to very small, just some small punctuation, to some large-scale insertions or deletions of material in some cases. So this was the phylogenetic tree that I showed last year, kind of using a methodology called Bayesian analysis. But anyway, and the numbers here show the support values, the posterior probabilities of support for these branches. But again, you see a well-defined RLDS, Community of Christ set of texts, and then a fairly well-defined modern LDS set of texts. To kind of just elaborate on this a little more, these earlier versions, Book of Commandments, the 1835, 1844 set of texts, and I assume probably that would even, though I haven't been able to locate a copy, the 1845 version, which I understand is just basically supposed to be more or less a reprint of the 1844. So quite different from anything either one of these groups, at least in a general sense. So again, there's the RLDS group, fitting almost a distinct chronological pattern, basically, in terms of their divergence. The modern LDS group, and this tends to have three smaller subgroups within it. The earliest subgroup would be these versions in the 1850s. That tended to come out always in all analyses as distinct and separated from all the other texts. So I sometimes refer to those as LDS Group A. Whoops, wrong direction. And then my LDS Group B, most of this, and there's some overlap because some of these things kind of bounce around depending on which section you're dealing with. But basically a group of texts from about the late 19th century on into the early 20th century. And then my group C, the common theme here, because sometimes these guys here, these 1919 and 1923, kind of, they're more texts I found in an old commentary on the Doctrine and Covenants. Sometimes they bounce over with this group depending on the section. But consistently, the 1921, 58 and 2013 versions consistently grouped together, forming the core of what I call my LDS Group C. So some consistent themes, we see consistent patterns, texts forming distinct, for the most part, consistent trends in their pattern of how they've developed there. I don't know if the person's here this year or not. There was somebody in the audience And I thought it was an unusual statement, that then I found out they were actually onto something. Someone in the audience last year asked if I had considered doing an analysis of the different orders of sections between the text, looking at, you know, the differences in how the different sections appear. About a month, month and a half after last year's symposium ended, I actually found a bunch of papers by Barbara Bordaleo, either her as a sole office, author or as a co-author, as well as some of the representative texts, where they actually did this type of analysis on the Canterbury Tales. Last year, one of the things I talked about in my introduction is the Canterbury Tales extensive phylogenetic analysis on that set of texts, and apparently included in this is, you know, looking at the different textual variants, and we see the different Canterbury Tales have, depending on which manuscript version you have different orders of these tales. So I thought I would try that out. Bordaleo and company used these very abstruse breakpoint or inverse expected breakpoint distances, which are usually used in biology to look at large-scale genetic or genomic rearrangements. That was probably a little more complicated for what I wanted to do. So I just constructed my own simple matching distance matrix. I just took the points in which they were similar, divided by the total amount of characters, and then subtracted that value from one and come up with my simple matching distance matrix. And got something like this. I don't know how well that shows up. It's a simple line drawing, so it might not be showing up that well, but there were basically five groupings. Maybe, hopefully, some of you folks up close can see it fairly well. So I kind of touched in on it here. This is what it's called, an unrooted cladogram. I wish I had an unrooted phylogram, because with that, the lines, the length of the lines would show the relationships, the number, the length of differences between the individual texts. But unfortunately, the program that I was using only did unrooted cladograms. So here's the Book of Commandments right here. So we know that's among these printed texts, that would be the oldest one. And then the first divergence is one that goes to what I've called my 1835 group, which includes the 1835 version, 1844, and then as well the 1852, and 1854 group. And they all had the same basic order, bearing in mind that the 1835 text had a numbering issue. They had two numbers, or in two section 66s. Okay? So they had section 66, and then they had then another section 66, and then everything takes off like that. So everything after the second 66 is actually off, but the order, despite that little quirk, is the same as the order among these little texts here. The next point of divergence actually gives rise to basically our modern LDS and our LDS set of texts, with the earliest RLDS text that I had, which is the 1864 version, which I think is actually the earliest edition, if I remember correctly. But anyway, it was just a couple of different sections, different from all later RLDS text. So this kind of corresponds somewhat. It's not exactly spot on, but does have some correspondence with some of the relationships that I'd previously gotten and are going to show you here at the kind of at the end of all this. Now, you came to hear a little bit about some of the revelations contained in the Evening and Morning Star, as well as Evening and Morning Star, the one without the definite article. So just a little background. Evening Morning Star, monthly newspaper, first published in Independence, Missouri, June of 1832 to July of 1833, and then later on, Kirkland, Ohio, December 1833 to September 1834. The particular revelations included in it that are now included as part of our modern Doctrine and Covenants were published June 1832 June 1833, so basically while they were doing all this in Missouri. Evening Morning and Star, the one without the definite article, had reprints of these previous newspapers, publications, and revelations. It was published January 1835 to October of 1836, and then those revelations published in that we now recognize as part of the Doctrine and Covenants appeared in the time frame, about a year and a half time frame, January 1835 to June 1836. And there were about 20, there are 26 of those, and here's the first 15 of these. Kind of little mention here, the asterices. You remember I talked about the two handwritten collections called Revelation Book 1, Revelation Book 2. The asterices indicate that these were all in Revelation Book 1 only, not in Revelation Book 2. Again, as I said, they overlap somewhat, but not completely. So on this particular page here, among the first 15, only what is now D&C 42, verses 74 through 93, appeared in both those handwritten manuscripts. All the others just appeared in Revelation Book 1, that manuscript collection. Just some interesting trivia here. What is now D&C 20 appeared twice in the Evening and Morning Star, June of 1832 and June, about a year later, 1833. And then a slightly revised version or different version appears also later on in the In Evening, the one without the definite article, appears also twice, the first time June 1835, June 1836. Of these, the only one that doesn't appear in both newspapers is what is now D&C 22. It appeared in the Evening and Morning Star, the one in Missouri, but not in the later Evening and Morning Star. So it's the only one like that. As you probably noticed earlier, D&C 42 was originally two distinct revelations, given at two distinct times. And in the Book of Commandments appeared as two distinct revelations. And it is the only one on this particular list. In fact, the only thing in distinct from what is now D&C 42 verses through 1 through 73, which appeared only in the first Book of Revelations, this one appears in both. And in the modern versions, what are now verses 74 and 77 actually appeared at the end. They now appear right before here. Okay, so a little bit of a rearrangement in terms of the order of the verses there. The next set, the next 15, sorry for all the yellow, all of these except D&C, what is now D&C 1, none of these, I should say, except for D&C 1, appeared in the Book of Commandments, even though most of these were around before it was published. We see also what is D&C 72, originally three separate revelations, though given on the same day. I'll show you why they were originally treated as three, or why we realize that they were still treated as three distinct revelations. And as well, what is D&C 88 appeared as two distinct revelations given at two distinct, very distinct times. These dates are from the Joseph Smith Papers website, in case anyone's interested in the source of the dates. Back to the D&C 72, I said, since it doesn't have the asterisks, that means it appears in both handwritten manuscript collections. I'm going to show you how it appears in, is that showing up all right? In the Revelation Book 2 collection. So you see these little bars right here, like little striped bars here and here. Okay, well, that's what is now D&C 72 verses 1 through 8. Okay, so they made a point in this particular case of drawing these little, what they're called, little striped bars between there. And then what's D&C 72 verses 9 through 23 begin here, continue on to the next page, and actually they don't go to this bar here, they go to about here. Okay? And you have this big long amen with a big long tail. Some of you folks up close can actually see that. And then as you look up close here, what is verses 24 to 26, notice how they're offset. Okay? So they're offset from the rest of these. Again, they got the little amen with the big long tail there. So that's why they're modern textual scholars looking at these things realize these were originally treated as three distinct revelations that were eventually combined together. One of the things I thought I would show folks and maybe discuss are some of the specific examples of textual variants. So one of the ones I want to look at is of textual invariant involving D&C 20 verses 73. It should look somewhat familiar to folks. Now this is specific text is from the Book of Commandments, but this particular version, more or less, taking into consideration that some of these handwritten texts didn't really have a lot of punctuation and a lot of wild spelling. But the particular version that you're seeing here, not only in the Book of Commandments, but in that first handwritten collection, Revelation Book 1, appears in the Evening and Morning Star, 1832, June of 1832 and June of 1833. Remember, what is now D&C 20 appeared twice. Okay. So let me read it here. See if you can tell me what's different about this. Whosoever being called of God and having authority given them of Jesus Christ shall go down into the water with them and shall say, calling them by name, having authority given me of Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. What's a little different here? Anyone notice that? They're supposed to, well, give you a hint here. That's not the way that goes nowadays, okay? Instead of saying, well, what do they say? Having been commissioned is what they now say of Jesus Christ, okay? So originally this original revelation was, what, 1830? Yeah, so 1830. Okay, so 1830, 1831, 1832, 1833 at least, right? And that's what you were supposed to say, okay? And, of course, the modern variant of that, so this is the modern LDS text, and is what you find in all other LDS and RLDS versions, as well as Evening and Morning Star, both times that it appeared, because remember it was also D&C, what is now D&C 20, was published twice in that. We now have the modern variant, okay? Does it matter what you say? You know, some people say that I might be being a picky here. Again, not trying to make any points here, but you know, when I'm assuming everybody's went to a baptism, so they get into the baptismal font, the person to be baptized, and the person that's doing the baptism, and the person that's doing the baptism grabs the one person's wrist and then, you know, raises his hand up and says all this, you know. And then you have the people out here in the audience like you are. And then there's two guys standing up really close. And these are these two guys right here. Two priests or Melchizedek holders. They witness it. And just to make sure that you use those words, having, among other things, having been commissioned of Jesus Christ, okay? Now, I'm not going to say that having authority is given me of Jesus Christ is a wrong thing to say, even though the church now recognizes this variant, because that previous having authority given me of Jesus Christ appears one other place. Anyone know what that other place is? In the Book of Mormon. So the Book of Mormon says, having authority given me of Jesus Christ. So I just thought that was kind of a little interesting textual bit of trivia there, that the Book of Mormon has this, but we have something slightly different in our modern editions of the of DNC. Book of Commandments, here's, believe it or not, roughly the equivalent in the Book of Commandments of DNC 27, verses 5 through 14. This, again, is particular version is from the Book of Commandments, but again, basically the same thing, taking into consideration punctuation and spelling and that kind of thing. Appears also in the first manuscript collection, as well as, I abbreviated it here, the Evening and Morning Star, March of 1833. So basically, the original version says, behold, this is wisdom in me. Wherefore, marvel not, for the hour cometh that I will drink of the fruit of the vine with you on earth and with all those whom my Father hath given me out of the world. In our modern versions, it's just a tad different. That big red here is stuff that's been inserted since then. So it's just not the fruit of the vine with you, but it kind of elaborates more, okay? So you, in this case right here, is the revelation was to Joseph Smith and Oliver Cowdery. So so not only with them, but with Moroni, with Elias, with John, the son of Zacharias, that's John the Baptist. Where we go down here? Oh, Joseph, Jacob, Isaac, and Abraham, kind of reverses the Old Testament order in which those names are usually given. Also with Peter, James, and John the Apostle John, not John the Baptist in that case. And then finally, and also with all those whom my Father hath given me out of the world. So a little bit of elaboration here. Again, not saying this is wrong or right, just that's this is how the text has developed over time. Okay, and that we see a few additions, a few expansions on some ideas, I guess is the idea. Kind of in a similar vein, what was the original variant for what is now DNC 27, 15 through 18? Wherefore, lift up your hearts and rejoice and gird up your loins and be faithful until I come, even so, amen. Again, this is the variant not only in the Book of Commandments, but in, that first handwritten collection of manuscripts, now referred to sometimes as Revelation Book 1, and the Evening and Morning Star of March of 1833, again, a little different. So all this stuff in here, I mean, it's not identical, but has some strong similarities with what the Apostle Paul writes in the, I believe it's the book of the Epistle to the Ephesians. So take upon you the whole armor so that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all that you may be able to stand, loins girt about with truth, breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The angel parts there are not there in Ephesians, but taking the shield of faith, quench the fiery darts of the wicked, take the helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, and so on. So that a lot of that looks kind of a maybe an elaboration or on the what the Apostle Paul writes in the Epistle to the Ephesians. So again, a little bit of different, again, expanding upon probably some original ideas here. Now that's the modern version. In all LDS versions and our LDS or Community of Christ versions, and was also the version more or less that appeared in, again, the one without the definite article, Evening and Morning Star of May 1836. And then I think I got one more along this line that I want to show here. So this might be a quick presentation. Book of Commandments. This, again, from the Book of Commandments, but similar thing going on in there with the first handwritten text and the Evening and Morning Star. This kind of compares with our modern DNC 28, verses 8 through 16. And gave unto him power by the means which were before prepared, that he should translate a book which book contained, and I probably should have told you before I started reading here, the highlighted are where there's been a word change. The red represents additions. So sorry about that. So which book contained a record of fallen people and also the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles and also to the Jews, proving unto them that the Holy Scriptures are true, and also that God doth inspire men and call them to his holy work in these last days as well as in days of old, that he might be the same God forever. Amen. Which book was given by inspiration is called the Book of Mormon and is confirmed by others by the ministering of angels and declared unto the world by them. Wherefore, having so great witnesses by them, shall the world be judged, even as many as shall hereafter receive this work, either to faith and righteousness or to hardness of heart in unbelief, to their own condemnation. For the Lord God hath spoken it, for we, the elders of the church, have heard and bear witness to the words of the glorious majesty on high, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So the basic gist of this really hasn't changed so much as we go from this early version to the more modern forms of it, but there has been, as indicated, a few changes. What is essentially this text, this bit of text here, actually, in the modern versions, appears right here. It's been moved here and put after to the Jews. Okay, the modern versions, they've added from, after giving him power, they added from on high, where it said a book before, it clarifies that the book is the Book of Mormon. Here's that part that about the ministering of angels and declared unto the world by them. That's after the part about the Jews here, where before in our modern versions, or in the earlier version, I should say, it said the same God forever. The modern versions kind of clarify or expand on that. Yesterday, today, and forever. And the rest of some of this stuff here came to a knowledge of this work and so on have been added in. So again, that's the modern version, which appears in the Evening and Morning Star. This will, again, the newspaper without the definite article appears in all RLDS and LDS versions, taking into account any spelling or punctuation differences, but the wording otherwise is the same. Going through these two newspapers and comparing what was in one versus the other, started to see two distinct patterns. Again, bear in mind, as I said, due to my wife's health issues, I wasn't able to give as much time on this as I'd like to. So I kind of cautiously present this to you at this point here. But the first type of bearing is just that, you know, when you look at some of these, there's not really a whole lot of difference between what appeared in the Evening and Morning Star versus what's in the Evening and Morning Star. The texts turn out to be the same. I'm going to show you an ordination. This is the original raw data, and then I cleaned it up a little. So an ordination, it's not really phylogenetic. It's what's referred to as phonetic. It just simply looks at similarities without any inference of evolutionary relationship. And then an ordinance approach, I use what is called non-metric multidimensional scaling, but there are other types of ordinance approaches. They basically look at the distance between different entities that you're looking at, in this case, the various texts, and then assign to those texts based on those distances, you know, a set of coordinate values, and then project it in a multidimensional space so that you can compare these. So this shows, again, as you might have guessed, the handwritten text. This one only appeared in the first handwritten text, not the second one. So, again, the handwritten text, very different from the printed text. Evening and Morning Star and the Evening and Morning Star kind of coming out close together. And they, in turn, are pretty close to those early LDS versions, the Book of Commandments, the 1835 and 1844 versions. Okay, which, and this is another pattern that appeared every once in a while, not every once in a while, fairly consistently. The RLDS versions typically when I did things like this or looked at distance matrices, and I have a bunch of these on my computer in my office at work, the RLDS usually kind of come up really close to these early versions, these, like I said, Book of Commandments, 1835, 1844 versions. Okay, and then somewhat more distant from them are our LDS, modern LDS versions, what I earlier called my LDS versions group A and B, kind of formed a pretty close group. A little more distinct within the group, but this line here is the LDS group C. You might be thinking, where are all the dots? Some of these dots representing the different texts are actually stacked on top of each other, so it looks like I have fewer dots than what I actually do. And if you look really close, you'll actually see these two are kind of stacked on top of each other. They're overlapping, but not completely. So this would be the 1921 and the 1958 versions here. Here's the current LDS version, so it's kind of projected into space there. The second pattern, and this so far has been the most consistent one, the first one I should have just been in about two sections. Most of them, however, what's in the Evening and Morning Star versus Evening and Morning Star tend to have some considerable differences. Again, I've got a ordnance plot here. So this is the overall, what I've got. This is everything that I've done to date, everything I did with with regard to the two newspapers, as well as the stuff that I did presented last year. So we kind of down here have the two manuscript versions and the Book of Commandments kind of coming close here. The Evening and Morning Star kind of off by itself in this representation. Along this axis here, it's kind of similar, but distinct along the second axis. And then the Evening and Morning Star, again, the two are very different. So here's the first, you know, here's the second. It's quite different from each other in terms of the textual similarities. And again, the Evening and Morning Star, very close to those early LDS versions, 1835, 1844, which are in turn very close to the modern RLDS, or Community of Christ versions of Doctrine and Covenants. The LDS texts kind of grouping down here. Okay, along the axis, they're probably not that different. Along this x-axis, they're probably not that different. They are separated somewhat along the y-axis. And then the very last thing that I want to do is show you the resulting cladogram, phylogenetic relationship. So again, just kind of go over that. Kind of roughly, pretty much similar to what I got, except I've got more texts and included a few things that I didn't have before. But again, I'll just do this. We have a distinct, again, RLDS group, well supported. That's 100% support using this methodology. This is what's called, the methodology I'm using here is called minimum evolution. So well distinct, well supported. Okay. Again, in terms of a modern LDS text, practically everything in this well supported as a group. And then my three subgroups, there's my subgroup A or group A, again, the 1854, 1852. My group B, which again is the stuff basically the late 19th century on into the early 20th century, all coming out together. And then the more modern versions, early 20th century to now, the 1921, 1958, 2013 versions, all forming a distinct, coherent group with each other. So as I keep adding more and more things, these patterns that I noticed early on last year start becoming more and more reinforced. Again, the 1844, 1835, grouping very closely with that Evening and Morning Star version, the one without the definite article in its name, and then the Evening and Morning Star, the original newspaper, the versions appearing there, somewhat more distinct, kind of appearing between, basically in this cladogram here, kind of in a sister relationship to these guys up here, and in between those and the Book of Commandments. So we see some distinctive patterns that, as I keep adding more and more things, that keep are more and more strongly supported, more and more strongly reinforced. Okay, so that's what I had to have to present. So I guess questions, if anyone has questions, hopefully I can answer them. So any questions? Yes.
I'm not quite understanding your chart.
Which chart? Okay. Okay. I'm saying that the texts, however you want to define it, the texts have been developed and have been edited since then, yes. And that falls into what I was pointing out, that they fall into the very distinct textual groups. This methodology has been used to analyze, like I said, Canterbury Tales, various texts of the Bible, various non-secular texts, okay? One of the things that you see that texts over time from the original source, whether you're talking about a religious text or a more secular text, as they go from one edition to another, these variants, for whatever reason, creep into the text. We know that's the case with, like, the Bible, for example. Okay. Yeah, right. I'm assuming there is some committee that oversees the publication and the printing of these for the Community of Christ on one hand, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints on the other. Those are the only ones I know. I don't know if like Temple Lot or anybody has any, if they do, so do their own. But these changes get in there, and sometimes it's just they feel maybe something needs to be clarified a little bit more or something needed to be added in. To explain upon something. As far as the motivation as to why it was done, I can't say. All I can tell you, here's what happened. Here's the way it was in 1833, but in here in 1835, this is what you've got.
And this is not showing the additions that other prophets made, but changes to Joseph's.
Oh, yeah, if that is the case, yeah, it's just showing, again, how the texts themselves went from some original form to that. Why they made them, I can't say. Presumably to clarify is the at least the official explanation. But again, I want to point out a lot of this. Now, not all of it, but some of these texts, you know, they are available. The two newspaper here, the variants, the Book of Commandments, and these versions here themselves are available. They have scans online. This Joseph Smith Papers website, which is Copyright Intellectual Reserve, which is a corporation owned by the LDS Church. The others I got from other sources that I looked up and were able to acquire. But, yeah, as to the motivation for the changes, I don't speculate on that. I just know here's what it was at one point, here's what it is later on. And you can trace that. Okay, yes?
So the official LDS
disposition,
LDS Church's position
on these revelations of their changes, but they said they've
only changed the headings on the Doctrine and Covenants.
Well, that's a lot more than the headings.
So...
I'm not looking at the chapter headings. I'm just focusing just on the revelations themselves, the actual what was originally given and what we get. I don't look at the chapter headings. Oh, these, yeah, those. There's a lot more there than just the chapter headings. If, so, yeah. So, anyway, I thought I saw a hand. Oh, okay, anyway.
Once you showed us, show that a lot was added to it.
In some cases, yeah.
So far,
I haven't come across any of. But remember, I've only gone just through a small portion of them. Where you see something removed, it was kind of like that one I showed you, where they took where it was in one position and just basically relocated it up here, is what I've seen so far. Okay, but again, I've only looked at a small section, yeah, a small portion of them. Sorry. Yes.
You can pull up next week's
Oh, okay. I'd like to get that web, that URL to that.
Joellakecoon.com/ETC.
Give it to me later, yeah.
So
I would be, yes. Okay. Any other questions? I keep thinking maybe I'm going crazy. I keep thinking I see a hand every once in a while over here, but maybe I don't. Okay.
All right, thank you. That's really interesting. And just a reminder, that's pretty much it for this session. Right after the session, in about half an hour, will be millennial polygamists who are coming in and sharing their stories. They're from one of the polygamous sects, so that should be interesting. And appreciate you being here. That's it.
Thank you.